Yo, we're here. Well, Tani's not here. Tani's away for another while longer. So we are here on Yo's Is Racist. Jessica Gao's guest hosting. I am.
Wow, no title or anything. No designation. No fanfare.
Do you know what this is? I was thinking this is like when like the manager at a Burger King has to like fill in because like someone didn't show up for work. And so like you're like, fuck.
I gotta pick up Tawny's shift.
Everyone called in today. So yeah, somehow de facto self-proclaimed manager of this show, Jessica Gao.
I've been demoted to manager. I was the CEO.
You're CEO? What's the difference, really?
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
I'm not a business head.
You're not a business head, and that's why you don't understand the difference between a manager and the CEO. You don't understand the difference between a manager at Burger King and the CEO of Burger King.
Listen, they're getting equally strung up when the revolution comes.
So. This is what an Ivy League education gets you.
Mm-hmm. I think we didn't want to segue into it too quickly, but. Yeah, guess what? My Columbia education wasn't fucking worth a damn. Not like the kids today at Columbia, because they are wonderful. I don't know if we have a ton to say about all the protests that are happening right now, other than these kids are doing really well. I'm saying this. I don't know.
I'm very impressed by the youth of today and how good they are and how organizing and how media savvy they are too. It's really impressive to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's been like the protests and the encampments are awesome. The cops are doing exactly what you'd expect. Which is upholding right-wing bullshit, fascist bullshit, I guess.
Which really aligns with all of Andrew's interests, too.
No, Jessica, no! Yeah, I was one of those, like, I'm like, oh, man, I am, like, so old now. Because I was, like, as usual, I'm out of town. I'm not in LA right now, but like in the Solidarity and Snacks chat, I am the like, listen, let's just make sure everyone's got enough water and like has their contact info. Like I'm a real old person as far as all this shit goes. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it is like one of those things where you just watch what the police are doing and then decide which side you're on, I think is the clearest way to say this. clearest way to say this without saying anything. So yeah, I am like truly in awe of how the kids, the thing that I saw that was the most upsetting was that between TikTok and active shooter drills, like these kids know everything. Like between like social media and like knowing how to broadcast themselves. Yeah.
I know. They have so much access to information. And also because they've grown up in a time of misinformation too, they have to be like a lot more media savvy, you know? And you know, I often fluctuate between being worried about the decline of media literacy. But then you see, you know, then you see kids like this who are like so media savvy. And then, so then I'm like, oh, okay, well, not everybody, you know, not everyone's getting dumber.
Yeah. Well, I think it is probably like both, right? Like mm-hmm. it's easier to shut your brain off, but it's also when you don't shut your brain off, you really have to like work and you get used to working and figuring things out and communicating. And I was talking to someone, like another old person who was worried that like no one knows any facts anymore. And mm-hmm. it is true, but it's also like all you learn in the information age is like processes that are reliable as opposed to like facts, which probably is better. I don't know. That's my take, is that the kids are fine and they're better than us. And just because I don't understand what's going on doesn't mean they're not better.
Because if there's one thing that's certain, this shows ethos is don't do a ton of work.
Yeah, don't do your own research. don't do my own research. We did do a tiny bit of research before this show because there was that viral clip that by the time this comes out might have been buried under the other, you know, virality that's happening. But of just this, like, presumably some sort of like right-wing agitator media lady who no one at the encampment at UCLA would talk to. And this like woman started crying because no one would talk to her. And it was just like, yeah, like don't talk to people you don't know. Seems like it should be like such a basic rule, but like I feel like I've watched so many in the previous generation fall for that.
Yeah, it's true. It really is. And you know how Andrew says, like, just look at what the cops are doing and then decide which side you want to be on. For me, it's look at anyone weaponizing white woman tears and then decide which side you want to be on.
It's really like, why? Yeah. And you know, honestly, like the nature of this news cycle is such that by the time this comes out, it literally, I feel like there's a high chance there will be between 3 or 4 videos that we could be talking about.
That happened even
today. It was like, did you see that woman that was walking through one of the protests? And it's like, yeah, you're gonna have to be way more specific. Some grim shit. How are you doing, Jessica? Otherwise.
Fine, I guess. You know what's funny is this year I have not had any sort of good answer anytime somebody says, how are you doing? Just because everything is so like wild and, you know, unstable. And I don't really have I don't have an answer. And it doesn't feel right to just be like, fine, you know?
Yeah. I think the answer is like statistically not worse than a lot of folks, but I don't feel so great.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Like, I don't have a good, like, under 3-word answer.
Fine, I guess, is a perfect 3-word answer, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause, you know, like this podcast, I also don't want to do too much work into processing all of that for myself. Yeah. So I'm just going to stick with fine, I guess.
Yeah. Technically fine.
I feel like that's going to end up being the title of this episode.
Well, we're going to keep pitching. That's really what episodes of Yo, Is This Racist are just like, you know, extended pitches for what the title will be. That's all we really accomplish here.
What Gao was saying, though, I think about a lot, like the media literacy is just so jarring. I just think about when I was in like junior high and high school, a lot of it was like, the font on this website is too big, therefore I'm not going to believe it. And like that was all of my media literacy, or was like, wait a second, this is a blog.
Well, there's like a lot of like, there's so much wild like discourse about like movies and TV online where like there seems to be an entire contingent of people who believe that like whatever any character does on a show is 100% what the show, like the creators, the filmmakers believe.
Yeah.
So like, sure. Yeah, it's so crazy. Like, mm-hmm. Like if the main character does something wrong or morally, you know, ambiguous or gray or anything like that, they're just like, well, obviously this is an extension of what the creator believes. And it's like, mm-hmm. Do you not understand human complexity and also the nature of fiction?
I love it. I love that. And I also love when the character, if the character redeems himself, it's because the actor thought of the line.
Yeah. Yeah, the actor saw what they were doing to the character and was like, no, they would never, absolutely not. We
I'm
must preserve
fix this.
Yeah, we got to preserve this fictional character.
I think I've managed to stay so out of TV or writing discourse because, I don't know, because I don't like talking about writing outside of work, I think is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I like weighing in on cultural shit that I barely know anything about and is way more incendiary. Speaking of shit that has bitten me in the ass, Our policy of letting people text in at 323-389-7223, that's 323-389-RACE, their questions, really fucking us up now. Somehow in the last month, the ratio of voicemails to text has swung. So it's like 7-to-1 text to voicemails.
Yeah, I like the text.
All right. I hope people like the text because it's going to be a lot of fucking text from now on.
I will say the one thing I like about that over the voicemails, not that I listen to this show, is that often the voicemails are really, really hard to hear or like to understand.
Oh, sure. And you just need my dulcet and impeccable enunciation to really fucking nail the tone of a text.
Mm-hmm. Always. And Andrew, you're my inner voice, Andrew. When I think any thoughts, it's in your voice.
I always forget when we have Jessica on the show, or when I see Jessica, or when I speak to Jessica, or when I receive a text message from Jessica, that 90% of it is just going to be sort of mean about me.
And yet you always forget.
It's not that like, oh, we're friends and I let it go. It's like, I'm like a Finding Dory about how mean Jessica is. Up to and including the next 5 minutes. I'm just going to be like, Jessica, what do you think? She got me again.
This is a true toxic friendship.
I'm going to give two fast audio tips to people who call in. One's a technical thing that I have to tell a lot of people. Don't call in using your AirPods. Your AirPods mic is really bad. And if you feel like you need to call in while you're parallel parking, maybe just wait 15 seconds, nail that park, and then call in.
That's incredible.
I guess I disagree about the parking thing, and I'll give him the AirPods thing. I don't know. Maybe it is a little wild. But I do think sometimes people are like so uncomfortable with their voicemails, they really just try to like squeeze it in into another thing so that they don't like have to like live with what they're talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not present for it, then you don't really, it didn't really happen. Yeah.
If you're checking out at Trader Joe's, it just feels way less pressure.
Yeah, just like, yeah, I just got to make this call real quick. Uh-huh. One tiny life update. I'm visiting my sister in Atlanta, and I went to, I shucked some oysters yesterday, and I really fucked up my hand. I'm not going to show it on cam, but.
No, show it. I want to see. Show it.
I didn't really fuck up my hand.
Ooh, that's pretty big. Big little cut.
I got a pressure blister right in the middle of my palm. I didn't stab myself, but I shucked so many oysters that the handle of the shucking knife shucked my hand up.
Just from the low video quality, it looks like somebody put out a cigar on the palm of your hand. And I like to think it's Kevin.
I have a box of cigars. We'll talk about it on Yoke and We Live. I have become a cigar guy post-wedding, and it is a toxic trait to have to start in your early 30s. But I have a full box right next to me.
White guy with a cigar is hard. It's a hard look, bro.
It is. I have a cut on my hand, too, because I was cutting my hedgehog's nails, and he doesn't like it, and he said, maybe I'll cut your nails, and he bit my finger, and I started to bleed.
Oh, cute.
His nails must be so teeny tiny.
They are very hard to cut because they are very, very, very small. But
do you use, are there like special clippers, or do you just use
regular
clippers? Yeah,
it's like tiny little nail clippers that are specific for him versus like humans.
But,
he's hanging
that's
in there.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
Are they supposed to just have like rocks and dirt to walk on to like usually file down their nails, or what is the?
Maybe he has kind of like a comfier bedding, and sometimes he'll like scratch and stuff. But mostly like we're supposed to cut them like once a week. We don't always do it once a week. So then they get
once
long,
a week.
So, I know. They grow pretty quick. But we end up doing it like every other week, sometimes longer than they get too long. But sometimes when he's like running on his wheel and stuff, they'll file a little bit. But so we did a big bath and nail clip. He had a spa day yesterday, basically.
So so hedgehogs in the wild, like, do they like dig a lot? Like,
I think
what's their lifestyle?
Yeah, I think they try to go in dark places. So they do a lot of like digging and hiding underground is my guess, or just like running around these streets. He loves to hide under like shirts and then run around at night. So he likes the darkness. He's kind of the Batman of our household. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say he's the bane of your household for sure. Yeah.
He was born in the darkness.
I guess I'm going to read a text. I'm going to try this one. Hello, love the show. Thank you very much. My friend, white male, is part of an activity planning team at a Slavic church. I'm not sure if that part is relevant, but there it is. They put on themed dinner parties once a month for a young women's group, high school, college age. This month, they wanted to do a Chinese food theme. He ran it by my wife, a former church member who is Chinese, and she said it wasn't racist to serve Chinese food. However, when invites came out, they said to wear, quote, traditional Chinese clothing, quote, to a, quote, a night in Chinatown, end quote. My wife was not okay with this and let him know there was a big difference between serving food and dressing up.
Yep.
He didn't see the problem with it. His explanation was that unless they were doing something that explicitly said Chinese equals bad, then it wasn't racist. To make things sillier, they are serving sushi and boba. How do I get this guy to see that this poorly researched costume party is racist?
First of all, I love the idea of a Chinese equals bad themed
night. Yeah.
Just a big banner on the church that says Chinese equals bad.
See, the tricky middle ground there is Chinese equals bad is probably the one of the most authentically Asian sentiments you can express.
Yeah, everyone outside of China in Asia would agree, would attend that night.
Yeah, yeah. We think so. You think it in a different way.
Oh, boy.
I was kind of hoping the text said Slavic church and then parentheses, don't worry, doesn't pay off later.
Well, I mean, I think it is relevant.
Yeah,
in
the context.
Yeah, well, they're just denoting that this church is not like, it's not like a church frequented by like Chinese people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think this was just such a perfect example of my like, this is why I always say everything is racist if you're going to ask, because I just, even if it's technically like whatever or questionable or like probably fine, I don't trust white people not to take that permission and run with it.
Yeah.
That is just such a good example of that.
Very interesting that the Chinese wife used to be a member of this church.
I mean, Slavic can be big, right?
Can be big.
Doesn't that extend through Russia?
Yeah, which is not China, despite popular belief.
But it's big, and it gets close to Russia. Listen, all I'm just saying, if it's USSR territory, then... Yeah,
they'll extend a hand in communist friendship to their neighbors to the east, to the southeast.
But it's just that, like, to me, and this might be my biased experience, is that this is why I never tell white people anything is okay.
Yeah.
Because like it just it's not just like a slippery slope. You just say one thing and like it so often ends up like this that I'm just like, I think this is the rule, not the exception.
Yeah. And here's look, that guy's not interested in being right. You know what I mean? Like, he's much more interested in having his little theme night than being right. It was just a blanket courtesy to ask the wife. And like, because the moment he got any pushback, he wasn't like, oh, the person that I asked, you know, is this okay test just told me it's not okay. That's not what I wanted to hear. Right. Well, actually, I don't actually really care. I just did it, you know, so that I could say I did. So, you know, like, he didn't really care, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this? Even if it wasn't what happened most of the time, the upsides versus the downsides, like, what's the upside? A Slavic church has a Chinese night? So what? Like, that's not that great. Like, what the fuck is so special about that? And the downside is a sushi, like everyone's dressed up is Oriental bullshit, racist bullshit night.
Yeah. So just wait till they have the event, you know, and then get a bunch of pictures and share it online so everybody can jump down their throats and rip them apart.
That's true.
Because as you know, my answer will always be the trolliest answer.
Public shame. Yeah.
I would say, I mean, I also think, you know, speaking of the opposite of media literacy, which is that, like, I used to think, like, well, you gotta, like, take pictures of these people and shame them and, like, post it. And I would say there's a, in this day and age, the other side of anti-media literacy is, like, even having been told this once, I would strongly guess people have no problem posting their outfits and photos from this event.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not going to, I mean, at most, even if they get shamed and they care about what people think, they'll figure out some way to make themselves the victims. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change them, you know?
Yeah.
But it'll be fun for all of us to make fun of. Because you know what? I bet you those replies are going to be solid gold.
Yeah. It does kind of backfire, though, if they respond like, why didn't you tag me?
Yeah. It's definitely on that level. Oh, God. All right. Well, let's take a little break and we'll come back with some voicemails of indeterminate audio quality. And we're back. We're back.
What a great break we took. I feel rejuvenated. I'm ready to help people with their racism questions. If you asked me how I'm doing, I would say fine plus.
Oh, you're an F plus. You signed on to a solid F plus now.
And it's all because we took such a rejuvenating break.
That's pretty good.
We all cut our nails.
Hedgehog style.
Uh-huh. You did remind me that Peanut's nails do need to be trimmed, and that's not happening anytime soon. At earliest 4 days, I think.
Okay, here's the voicemail.
Hi, yeah. Name is Derek, suboptimal subscriber.
Thank you very much for your service.
From California. I guess maybe, like, this is asking too much research from you guys, but I'm like, so I was visiting my sister, and she had this shampoo called Native Shampoo, and I was like, okay, let me look this up. I'm assuming it's a Native person who owns the company, but it's a little confusing online, to be honest. It's like, so there's this person, Moez Ali, who's the founder of Native, but I can't find anywhere that this person identifies as Native American. But yeah, maybe it's just super racist of me as a white man to be like, is this person Native? As opposed to like, you know, my original question, which is it racist that this company is called Native Co? I might be the racist. Native Co might be not the racist. So who's the racist here? Anyway, thank you.
This is a kind of a new category of a caller losing faith in the middle of their voicemail about their position.
Wait, is it me?
Is it me? Is it me all along? Look, at the risk of further alienating whatever like sponsorship opportunity, I think Native is the one that's always advertising on podcasts. So look, but also I picked this voicemail as an additional demonstration of a heuristic that I use that is not remotely bulletproof logically, but mostly works. And I'm not even sure if it worked in this case, but I did want to just walk through my train of thought on this. So like the caller, I went to the Native website and I hit about, and they do have a little bit about the founder.
I'm on the website, Moez Ali.
Founder, yeah. Moez, I guess, Moez Ali. Which is a name that I'm not familiar with particularly, but I guess I would be relatively confident in guessing that's not a Native North American or Native American person name. But also, my train of thought on this tends to be, if a company, if an American company names itself Native, they will, like, it won't be hard to find out if they are owned by Native folks. And sort of, like, commensurately with any other type of very, like, racialized type of name. So my strong guess is just the very fact that they don't talk about it anywhere and is tantamount to, like, purposefully obscuring that they are not owned by Native folks. Look, is this bulletproof logically? No. Could this bite me in the ass? Of course. But most of the time, if you employ this train of thought, you're going to come up with the right conclusion. So that's my, like, no research version of this, which is that, like, yeah, if they don't fucking talk about it and they're, like, called Native, I would be...
This is what I found. Moyes bought the domain on GoDaddy on his birthday, July 2015. He chose the name Native to invoke the idea of natural ingredients without pigeonholing the brand into only using natural ingredients. okay. He landed on nativecos.com since native.com was already taken.
All right. I feel vindicated.
Yes.
So this thing that spurred a voicemail and Andrew doing research was all because some dude, like, just one day was like, what should I domain squat on?
Well, but also it is that, like, especially squirrely thing of, like, well, I don't want to say natural because that's a, like, legally protected term.
Yeah. I'll say Native because that's not legally protective. It's protected. Yeah. And anyone can exploit whatever connotations that brings.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I also will say, listen, again, podcast advertisers, of course, will take your money. But the vast majority of the companies that are huge podcast advertisers are, like, Silicon Valley type companies with people running, you know, essentially tech companies that are trying to exploit loopholes in labor or existing business practices or tax law, or whatever the fuck. So, yeah. They're bad.
Well, that's the thing, is that tech companies, they don't believe anything belongs to anyone unless it's something they paid for.
Right.
And that's really all it is.
Anything they can steal is wonderful. Yeah.
Yes. Whether
it's licensing taxi cabs or, like, you know, fucking using the public streets as your warehouses. Yeah. They just steal stuff. Unless they want to give some of that money to us, we hate them.
So go to nativecode.com and use promo code YO.
Oh my God, this is so separated. This was so long ago and not even something we talked about beforehand. But did you guys see they're releasing, like, a feature, an AI-generated feature film?
No.
I'm not going to be able to find the trailer live, but it is terrible in a way that I don't remember if I've said this theory before. I feel like I've said pieces of it on Twitter. But part of me is now realizing or wondering if, even if AI could generate good art, the people that love AI have such bad taste that at its, like, soul, the AI mind is learning to have such whack taste that AI will never be a good artist. Not because it couldn't, but because its feedback, it's like core feedback loops are all, like, the shittiest taste you've ever seen and being told this is amazing.
Okay, so if I found a genie lamp and I rubbed that lamp and the genie came out and said, I'll give you three wishes. One of those wishes would definitely be the ability to make it so that all these people who love AI are cursed forever to only be able to consume AI generated content. They are never, ever allowed to ever be able to see, hear, and, you know, be around, like, anything that is human generated. That is my wish.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, it's a little bit like Trump with his actual voters. Like, the punishment should just be, you have to live with this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. It's just like, yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. It's like,
well, how do we make that happen? I mean, are there genie lamps floating around? How do we get our hands on one? How do we get wishes?
Let me tell you, there's no genie lamp, because if I feel like you wouldn't be here on this podcast if you had a genie lamp.
But that's why I need to get my hands on one, because guess what my second wish is going to be?
Oh, man. It's me just having to just, I guess it would just be a different podcast where you just get to yell at me in public and I just couldn't take it.
I mean, that's every time
I'm
I
just
go
kidding.
On.
We're already on that podcast.
Yes. This is your, you know, you could probably be dead and this is your purgatory. You just don't know it.
No, I don't. It's, I guess, yeah. Is it purgatory if you don't really mind it that much?
Yeah, because it's not hell, you know?
Yeah.
It's just purgatory.
Yeah. Yeah. Every day I wake up, I'm like, this isn't that great. It's not that bad. It really could be a lot worse. The thing that no one can take away from me is it could be a lot worse.
Yeah. And that is the function I serve in your life.
Thank you, Jessica. Let's do the other voicemail. And then... If we want, we can do another text message. But let's do the voicemail first.
Hello. I was hoping to hear your opinion on an experience I had at work recently. I work in a health clinic in a university, just doing administrative stuff. But we had a presenter come in recently to talk to the clinicians about trauma-informed patient care. And the presentation was awesome, like really spot on, really helpful information. But we did one activity during the presentation. I'm curious if you're familiar with the activity. Everyone gets like a printed out piece of paper and it's stuck to their back. And every piece of paper has some kind of identity or descriptor of a person. So like one was deaf. One was Asian high school student. One was Native American. And so you don't get to see what's on your back, but you walk around the room meeting people, and based on how people treat you, you're supposed to guess at the end what your identity or person was on your back. And, I was doing like tech for the presentation, but I felt kind of yucky watching it. And like in the debrief afterward, there were a few people that were like, oh, I got teen mom and I was a teen mom. Or like, oh, people kept asking me about my math homework and like I was Asian high school student and that was me in high school. So it seemed like a lot of opportunity for microaggressions. I remember my partner did this activity in like some activity in grad school and also got microaggressed and like felt really bad about it. Just curious to hear your thoughts. I have no doubts about the presenter. Like, they were awesome. Like, again, really great information. But maybe there's, like, some benefit to this activity that I'm not seeing. I think it was just about how, like, stereotypes can create problems in patient care. And, you know. Anyway, curious to hear your thoughts. Thank you very much.
This was literally an episode of The Office.
Yes. So this is, I wanted to include this one. I don't know why. I'm all about train of thought today. I feel like I have to justify all my decisions, largely because my manager is here. But my boss is around. I picked this because initially when she started talking, I was like, oh, this is fake. This is from an office. You know, this is just like trying to troll us. But like the more the caller talked, I was like, I think this is real. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I was taken in by good acting and good writing, which is, you know, as we all know, is a captivating experience. But
and that episode was human generated.
But right, like, were you convinced by that voicemail that this was real? And if so, is it fucking crazy that this is like,
even if this voicemail
happens?
Even if this voicemail isn't real, there's no doubt in my mind that companies still do this.
I think what's more realistic is the person watched that episode of The Office and went, I should do that with my job, and then was inspired by the episode.
Well, regardless, like, I believe a company in this day and age,
totally,
in the year of our Lord, in the year of our Lord, Jessica Gao, 2024. had to do it. has done this, is actively doing this. There, as we speak, some middle management person is planning to do this. So, you know, so even if you don't believe this caller, we are addressing the somebody larger. Else who is... Yeah, somebody else who was doing this for sure.
I mean, to me, it's so wild because it is like I, the Office, this is like one of the few Office episodes I've seen. Like, I was like, this is so wild to me. Like, this is like specifically made fun of on the most popular television show in America. Like, how is this possible that you do this?
Right, but I also, remember that television yeah. show specifically was about like,
yeah,
you know, skewering, American corporate office culture and bringing in all the real life things that happen working at an office, you know. Oh, so,
all right,
yeah, because it's so easy to see some middle management person like we watched in The Office, but like a middle management person who's like, you know what, like. I mean, who has such an elementary school understanding of what prejudice is, you know?
Right. What do we think about the caller's assessment that this, like, the person giving the presentation was otherwise good and this was a, you know,
yeah, good doesn't count. Thing.
I mean, I think that's a very generous, you know, assessment of the, that's really going above and beyond giving someone the benefit of the doubt. I mean, look, I'm sure, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say, the analogy to me is, they T-boned my car, but other than that, great driver.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like... I'm sure, because here's the thing. I'm sure the person who came up with it and implemented it was like, I'm really doing something, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. Do you think there's anyone, okay, this is me giving even more too much credit. Do you think someone could have, like, watched that episode and be like, okay, but I can do this the right way?
Yes,
yeah, for 100%. Sure. Absolutely.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. This is a comedy show and they like fucked around and like,
yeah, bro, yeah. But if you of course, they're going to make it silly. But if the characters had done it right, they would have learned something. Yeah.
That's so, yeah. I guess part of it, I will say, is like, because the examples were less like a specific race and things like Teen Mom or I guess it's his Japanese high school student, which.
Yeah. Asian high school student.
I don't know. It's just like. It was more to me, this voicemail was like, it felt like my like troll detector was like completely fucked up. I was like, I cannot tell what's happening here at all.
I don't think it matters if it's real or not, because for sure it really happens. Yeah.
I know. All right. All right, Jessica, I'm going to give you one more from the,
as a treat, text I get box. Another one.
Yeah. A friend got a heart procedure done, and while telling us about it, he said the doctor doing the procedure is called a rhythm doctor. I guess they specialize in vascular electrocardiography. Anyway, his girlfriend proceeds to say rhythm doctor in a Jamaican accent. A la Cool Runnings. She only did it once, but it felt weird. The doctor was not black. She's white. Racist?
The first, what a roller coaster, because the first half of this I was like, where are we going? Where's the racism gonna come in? You're talking about a heart procedure. What's happening? Is this gonna be something about like medical racism? And what a turn. That was Shyamalan-esque, that twist.
That was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's a little like twist ex machina, because it's all of a sudden then a girlfriend jumps in and says, Cool Runnings Jamaican accent rhythm doctor, and then dips out of the story.
It's like also, a jump scare.
Yeah. Well, especially because like my first, if I hear rhythm doctor, that's not going to be my first association. I'm not automatically going to go, that's a very Jamaican thing, you know? Like,
yeah, I did not know where it was going.
I guess it's just, there's a certain type of white person who just can't hear the word rhythm.
Yeah.
I suppose, without making it racialized.
Yeah.
That's my guess. It's fucking bizarre to me. All right. We're not answering this one. Draw your own conclusions.
Well,
folks.
I mean, there's no answer. It's just like she's who knows how that brain works.
just say racist and move on. It's just it'll be easier for you than to try to figure it out, caller or texter. Jessica, thank you so much for being here on the show. I guess, yeah, leave your performance review. Oh, yeah, you can tune in. Jessica yep. has some notes for the pod on Suboptimal Pods on Yoko We Live. So tune in for the performance review this week.
I have a great Costco story I can't wait to tell Jessica about in Yoko We Live.
Oh, man.
Yeah, guys, subscribe and listen to the episode because I'm going to be so pleasant and cool and funny on that episode.
The manager's on break.
323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE. All right. I guess we're loving the texts. If people are loving the texts, keep texting in. I was a little like, I hadn't looked at the voicemail box for a little while, and I was a little like, what the fuck is happening here? But if it's working for people, it's working for me. That's it. Peace. This is Suboptimal.